Hello?
Hello.
Maria. Fabio?
Hello. Yes, this is Fabian. Still there?
Hello. Janine's here.
Hello.
Hello? Send the chat, the link for the chat room again, please.
It's in the email that announced the meeting.
Yeah, it's very, I mean.
I thought you said that it changed every time last time. No, that's okay then.
The only
It's
change.
more or less, if you have the one of last time, you just use that one and change the date at the end of it. So it's onto IOF underscore and then 2014-03-12.
Okay.
So hello, Tara here.
Hey Tara.
Hi Tara.
Hi.
Tara, do you have the link to the chat room?
I'm working on it, but yeah, I can find it.
Well, let me just. I should just Skype it to you.
Oh, okay.
Assuming that you are.
Here. Thanks.
Yeah, I think I worked out. Yeah.
So just to, as a background information, I'll going to give a presentation next week at NIST about OntoIOP. So we will be able to report back whether they looked at me completely confused and baffled by what we're doing, or whether it makes some sense to them.
Yeah, you moved back to Germany, didn't you? Or are you still a bit missed?
No, I'm working for Till now.
Okay.
But I'm, yeah, I hope to visit NIST on a regular basis, so I have some contacts there.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure what has happened to Till.
Is he traveling today, or?
He said he's going to travel, but he said he's going to be available. He didn't tell me anything about him not being available. So let's see. Maybe we can. I think we can start with Autumn and hope that he will join us soon. So I see that Peter posted. A new version, actually, it's just the new version of the document that Till sent around. And I think we are supposed to talk about, we're scheduled to talk about conformity, conformance criteria, right? Section 2.
That was upon you.
That was fun. So, shall we just start?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, go ahead. It's fun. Let's go ahead together. the problem is that I am, that the person who wrote that is neither of them, is currently on the phone, right? Christoph here with us? Because I believe Christoph wrote that originally. And did anybody have a look at this section and has a comment on it?
Well, I haven't looked at it in complete detail, but I got to the part where XML languages are preferably specified in XMI, and my jaw dropped. I don't understand why that would be preferred. I don't know of anyone who uses XMI for the schemas for their XML languages. this is, if I understand it right, this is section 2.1, item 3.
Yes. Yeah, does that, anybody else have a, was involved in the discussion or knows about that?
About XMI?
Why is that here?
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, does that have to do with some activities within OMG, a preference for XMI?
Well, I think even OMG can't be so self-deluded to think that that XMI is really usable as a schema language. It's one thing to be used as an interchange format for UML diagrams. It works well for that, but for a general schema language for XML syntaxes, it doesn't have the power and the tool support for that.
But Christoph is now here.
So we can find out who actually wrote this.
Hello, I am. excuse me, what's the text?
We're talking about the performance section, mm-hmm. and I believe you brought that to a large degree, didn't you? So maybe we can take a step back and you tell us and start from the beginning, and you can just introduce to us what the background idea was and mm-hmm. Some other things like the, let's say, OMG or ISO, and what can we change?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm going to this section of the document now. This is right. Now, Fabian, do you know whether this section has, whether you have changed anything in this section recently? Or is most of it in the old ISO state?
The only changes that I made were basically ripping out the style file and of ISO, moving it around, trying to not screw up too much the stuff you did with LaTeX that I partially don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't make much content changes, I just rearranged stuff.
Okay. Well, then we can assume that the content is mainly the same as it was with ISO. Let's see, this 2.1 conformance of an OMS language or a logic withdrawal, that's I think that's partly new. I mean, this SMOS requirements for specifying the abstract syntax, that's OMG specific. Okay, we have OR EBNF. EBNF would have been the preference of ISO. And so we say a language must either itself satisfy certain conditions, or looking into part 5, there must be a translation into a language that is fun.
No, so the issue is where on clause number 3,
yeah.
There's a reference to XML serialization. Preferably XMI shall be used.
Well, Michael, let's go ahead and let Christoph present it point by point. I'm interested in point number 1 as well.
Okay, sorry. I apologize. Please go ahead.
Oh, I see. I was even skipping over a lot of points. Point number 1, I don't know. I think OMG requires that any abstract syntax be specified as in SMOS, and on the mailing list we've had, there was his name, Florian Meury, who offered to provide, no, who has actually already provided an SMOS implementation of this.
Wait,
that's all I know. I don't know anything else about this.
But I mean, I think there must be, you need to talk to about two different components here, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
One is Doyle is providing an abstract syntax, and you can
mm-hmm.
have several concrete syntax.
Oh,
Doyle. And that
Sorry.
Would be
yeah.
conformance. That is a conformance we can talk about. And then there is a conformance of an ONS language.
Yeah.
With Doyle, which is what this heading here promises.
Right.
And
so, yeah,
I think
but,
we don't have any influence. We don't have any influence about, you know, the, let's say the OWL people and whether they want to have a smart and compact
mm-hmm.
meta model.
Yes. Sorry, I got this wrong. right. I think we cannot expect that any given ontology language has been specified in SMOF, and of most ontology language we can't assume either that it has been specified in EBNF, or common logic will probably be specified in EBNF because it's an ISO standard. But for OWL, for example, well, that's not the case. It is actually specified in a UML-like way, but I think rather in an ad hoc UML. So for establishing the conformance of such languages with Doyle, we would have to formalize the abstract syntax in this way.
I think for common logic, it's more likely to get the abstract syntax specified as SMOF than EBNF, because currently it's just in English.
Oh, I see.
But any concrete syntax, I mean, at least CLIP is provided as EBNF.
Right, but it's not the abstract syntax.
That's true. Well, we can do a better job in the revision.
Well, I guess the issue here is the specification of the abstract syntax for conformance of Doyle. The abstract syntax of the OMS language is what you're saying. So, yeah, I guess that would be something to inform the common logic abstract syntax to be done.
Yeah, I mean, Elizabeth Kendall has offered to create the SMOF meta model for common logic.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I think that's quite achievable once we figure out what the abstract syntax actually is.
We should enlist her on that issue,
yeah.
But before, I mean, you raised the general issue, though, of that any OMS language conformant with Doyle must have an SMOF compliant metamodel. So that would mean that even OWL would have to have an SMOF compliant metamodel.
Well, what it says R here. So you have either you need either that one or the other.
Right.
And
can we capture that earlier point onto the chat about the SMOF model that is maybe
okay.
Okay, should I do that?
Go ahead, sure.
You can keep talking.
So I'm just wondering, do we have a section where it says conformance? Do we have a conformance of a language with Doyle as the meta language? Or do we just are happy with, wouldn't we need that as well? I'm just now wondering.
What do you mean?
Well, you have an abstract syntax in this for Doyle. We have a concrete
mm-hmm.
syntax for Doyle.
Mm-hmm.
And do we have rules for how a concrete syntax needs to match the abstract syntax?
That's something that's now confusing me. First of all, if we're thinking of concrete syntaxes of OMS languages, that's covered in section 2.2, conformance of a serialization of an OMS language, because we call these concrete syntaxes serializations, just to be able to better distinguish concrete and abstract syntax. And serialization is also used in a term that's used in some ontology languages. But what now confuses me is is item 3 in this list in 2.1, which speaks of a human readable lexical concrete syntax. I think that's new, that's past ISO, but I don't know who added it. So I'm wondering what
the only people who have edited the document, as far as I know, I edited it and Till edited it, and I didn't add that. So what's it until?
Well, I wonder if it's a confusion regarding the requirements for DOLE versus the requirement for OMS languages, because
right.
that requirement would be reasonable for DOLE because it's going to be this OMG specification, but certainly not reasonable for OMS languages that are registering with DOLE.
Yeah, I agree.
So it needs... So it seems, maybe it's just somewhere else and I didn't see it, but do we have a conformance of the serialization of DOLE with the abstract syntax with DOLE? Do we have a section on that somewhere?
Well, is that something that we need to have?
That would be in the RFP.
Doesn't tell you, the RFP doesn't tell you what the abstract syntax is.
Yeah. No, but does the RFP say that whatever submission is made has to have an abstract syntax and conformance criteria for any concrete syntax? I mean, like, it's not necessary to have this, I don't know if it's necessary for DOLE to have this kind of, what do they call this, pluralism model where you can allow there to be other dialects of DOLE, for example, use a DOLE.
Okay, but why would we then have an abstract syntax at all?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just, why not just define the concrete syntax directly?
I think the difference is whether it's open or closed in terms of these concrete syntaxes, right? So, you know, you look at, say, the OWL2 document, you know, and so there's the, they have, you can look at the OWL2 document in multiple concrete human readable syntax, you know, Turtle or Functional or Manchester. But it's not like there's a conformance criteria in OWL2 that says, oh, if someone ever comes up with some other concrete syntax, here is how it would be conformant. It's kind of like built into the standard in the way that these are the kind of the different surface syntaxes.
Well, there are other uses for an SMOS compliant meta model, though, because you can use it to generate compilers, for example.
Right. And no, but I think that, like you said, though, earlier, I thought you said that it's a separate issue to say that there is a SMOS compliant meta model for the DOLE syntax, which should be here, but that's not really an issue of conformance per se.
Yeah, I mean, we're jumping around on a lot of points. But,
yeah.
The point I was addressing was Fabian asked, what would the point be of having an abstract syntax for the DOLE language itself?
Right.
And I was trying to respond to that it's not just about having multiple concrete serializations. It's also making sure there's an OMG compliant method for generating compilers.
Okay.
I would agree that, yeah, we need to have that, but maybe it's not necessarily something that's discussed in the conformance section.
Good. Okay, so then it seems that we agree that something is wrong with 3. How do we fix it? I mean,
I think something's also wrong with 1. Because not every OMS language will necessarily have this abstract syntax, either in SMOF or even in EBMS.
But it can be provided for every ontology language. And to some extent, it will be our job, I think, to do this, because think of the logic that, behind an ontology language. It will also be largely our job to say why this logic is an institution. So we can't go to the W3C and say, well, would you please do this for us and specify that some description logic on which all is based is an execution.
Okay, you know, I would be fine with that if it's some it's a necessary artifact for Dole to be able to work with the language. That makes sense.
Do you want to do that for all the languages that may want to be part of it? Because if the owner is on us, as the USA, then it's going to take a lot of extra effort. And maybe you want to do that for a couple of languages, but maybe that other ones would prefer to define it for their own language, basically to become part of the system.
Well, there is a shortcut in item 5 in this list, and that's actually the first item that dates back to, well, to the time when I contributed to the conformance criteria. So item 5 is the first one I really feel familiar with, that we said that all this work, like specifying abstract syntax and the other points, need not be done for a new language if one can specify a translation from that new language into an existing language that is already Dole conformant. But of course, this translation would have to satisfy certain conditions.
Well, if that's an alternative, 5 is an alternative to 1 through 4, then the first sentence needs to be written differently. Because it says that it must satisfy all the following conditions.
Sorry. I will look it up in the original document. Yeah. I think this got messed up in the editing. In the ISO version, which I still happen to have here, I paste this into the chat for reference. We had phrased it. Tilla, are you here now?
Tilla's here 5 times. 7 times.
Okay. So, wait. Give me a second to paste this from the old.
So that's how he did get so much work done. He cloned himself.
Yeah.
It seems to be out of control, though. Here.
Well, if you have a vote, he's going to outvote us.
So there is more to come. So this either or thing, either there is a translation or there is something else that was clear in some characters got messed up here. So the phrasing is: a language is conformant with Dole if either it satisfies the following conditions, A, B, C, D, E, or there exists a translation of it. I will correct this. Or there exists a translation of it into a conformant language.
Okay.
That will solve a lot of problems.
Good. So you will have to fix that. By the way, do you have access to the repository? You should.
I?
Yeah.
To the GitHub repository? Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah. So,
at the moment, we do not yet know how to fix this. I mean, the phrasing needs to be fixed, but also it needs to be fixed what we mean to say here.
Yes. Now you're saying there's another section that's talking about serializations.
Well, that's section 2.2. said. Yeah, I could even imagine that a few things are out of date. Because, well, the XML and RDF serializations we have dropped. So there are. I need to reconstruct this. What, from my memory, what we said about conformance. This was the text that we have here was a bit, yeah, more ambitious than what we ended up with. We've simplified it to a large extent.
I think at least for me it would help if he just had a little bit more background. So what is the intuition behind the conformance condition? What are the requirements which are really not?
Right. So the intuition is that the DOL meta language will have some kind of a concrete syntax.
Mm-hmm.
One or more. I think we've ended up with one concrete syntax, which is the one that looks like castle. Whereas we've given up the ideas of also specifying a concrete XML syntax and a concrete RDF syntax. Whatever the concrete syntax of the DOL meta language is, it is one of the essential design goals that it should be possible to literally verbatim include snippets of ontologies in basic ontology languages into a distributed ontology in any of the conforming serializations of basic ontology languages. So consider OWL serialized as RDF using the turtle serialization of RDF. We would like to embed a turtle snippet into a file that uses our concrete syntax for the DOL meta language. And there may or may not be certain conflicts with this. So there might be a concrete serialization of an OMS language might, for example, have escape characters that are different or conflicting with the DOL escape characters and vice versa. And there is also something about namespaces, because we would like to consistently refer to symbols. So the DOL meta language has a way of, for example, abbreviating long symbol identifiers, and the individual OMS languages and their concrete serializations also have ways of doing this, and sometimes they are using the same way as the one we intend to use in the DOL meta language, which was borrowed from RDF, but they might also have different ways. And so the section on conformance of a serialization is basically a list of requirements for accommodating such conflicts or working around them.
Okay. That helps.
Still doesn't seem to agree with you.
I think till what you just wrote refers to section 2.1. And I see, about translation. That do you say that in order to specify a translation, you need both an abstract and a concrete syntax? I hadn't been aware of this, but I think this is about 2.1. Anyway, I think we were still mainly in section 2.1 and made a short excursion into 2.2. And 2.1.1, by the way, is about the conformance of a translation. And this might also have to be changed. Okay, Phil seems to have left the chat.
Uh, And maybe he's on the chat, but he's not on the call.
No, he's not even listed on the chat anymore. So he seems to be completely out of, his network seems to power him. He's back and pranked again. I'm not sure what this wireless situation is there. It seems to be really bad. Peter, did you see Till on the phone at all?
No, he's not on the phone.
I saw Till a number of times from a number of, about 10 times.
You mean on the chat? Sorry.
Yeah, just on the chat. Just trying to stay on the chat.
Yeah, it's playing like that.
And struggling.
Okay. It would be very helpful for him to explain to explain also his, as I have him here in general, and in particular to be talking about the translation of semantics to be an abstract and concrete context. Oliver, do you know, can you, have you an idea what that's supposed to mean? the question is about what is,
It's back in the chat.
Okay, well, let's see whether he...
Well, maybe we should ask him by chatting to him. I'm not sure he is listening, so...
Okay.
I will ask him, Chris.
So I have another question. There seems to be some, implicit definitions of some terms in here, language and logic and serialization and so on. I'm wondering if those have been written down anywhere.
Well, so there is a section which contains a lot of definitions. Terms and definitions, section 4.
Okay.
And let's see that the word serialization is there. Don't see the word serialization, but maybe I overlooked it.
This is not there, I guess.
No. So, yeah, we had a glossary, or a beginning of it, I believe, but then Conrad told us that OMG has changed its policy on the glossary aspect because they realized that nobody's maintaining them properly. So they are no longer part of the documents.
Okay, serialization is there on page 17.
Okay, wonderful.
They're not part of it, or they're just not required?
Well, there is no section which is called glossary.
Oh, I see. We have to stick to the format. Right, right.
But we have, okay. Of course, a section which is called terms and definitions. And I think we can be very generous with the terms we include there. I mean... Especially all of these terms which are, technical and probably are not, can't be assumed to be well understood by everybody in OMG. I think it would make a lot of sense to include them.
Do you think these definitions are fairly stable at this point?
You're asking the wrong person because I joined... I was kicked out of this, was asked to leave this this enterprise by my boss 3 years ago. And since then, when I returned about a few months ago, we were more involved in getting the RFP out, not editing the document itself. So, Michael or Christoph, are the definitions stable?
Are the definitions stable?
They have undergone a long process with a lot of discussions, but so why we want the standards? They had reached a certain degree of stability, but then on the other hand, now as we redid a lot of things for OMG, and this includes the RFP preparation, we changed a lot of other things, or reconsidered a lot of other things that we would also have considered stable 2 years ago when we were still working with ISO. So I wouldn't say that everything is stable. Still, I think the definitions are, well, I don't know, would it make sense to review them, to give everybody 2 weeks to comment on the definitions and to agree or not to agree whether we consider them stable?
I mean, I suppose we could do that. I would say that they are stable insofar as there have not been kind of open concerns with any of them. And I think there's been kind of recognition that this covers all the terms that need to be presented.
Okay, let me explain. The reason I ask is that in the API 4KB committee, we need these kinds of definitions for building a schema for that project. And so we have been talking for some time of making it consistent with Onto IOP. And so I was wondering if it's at a state where we can go ahead and run with it.
Well, it could certainly be a valid form of validation. So if you try to apply it in a different context and you can live with the definitions, that would be a form of validation.
I also see, Christoph has a good point. I mean, we might want just to make one more pass to make sure that we're all comfortable with the current definitions as they stand. And otherwise I can see Tar's point. It's like, oh, you know, I don't want to be the beta tester and then go through that pain of the definitions, to use a metaphor. But, yeah, so I kind of agree with Christoph. Maybe we can do one more pass on those and then get some consensus on that's all there is to do.
Christoph, can you raise your hand?
Yes, one more comment on this. I think and I hope this pass will be a quick one because, recall that the ISO working draft emerged from a group that was concerned with terminology and the ISO people took this very seriously. So most of the review feedback that we got on the standard was about this terminology section, which we are now calling the glossary. So in that sense, the definitions do have a high quality.
So could we capture this sort of consensus to review onto the chat and capture it as a consensus?
Well, the question is it consensus? I mean, it seems reasonable to me. So far nobody has objected. I mean, it would be in a way we would jump now from, I mean, it doesn't seem, I think we won't be able to come to get section 2 done today without Till being actively participating, or very actively participating, except for a few comments here on the chat. It doesn't sound fair to everybody to just jump ahead, look at the terms and definitions, and see if we are happy with them so that the API for the folks can have a look at it.
No, I was referring to the earlier suggestion from Christoph that maybe we take another pass on the ISO document. I guess, Chair.
I see. Right, because in the G document they are no longer included.
There was a different glossary in addition to the terms and definition section here. Are you sure? Hello?
My point actually was whether or not we agree to sort of divert or maybe we don't, but either way, please capture.
Right. So that was my question. Do we agree to divert and go to section 4 and review section 4?
Well, you're saying do that real time in the call now?
No.
Capture is reviewing section 4 or reviewing the ISO working draft.
I don't think that there's anything in the ISO working draft which we didn't
move
over. So there was a glossary maybe in the ISO working draft, and I moved that into this section because we are not having a glossary in the OMG template. And so I just decided, I didn't cut anything out, I just moved things around, so that it would fit from one template to another template. So I don't think
that, right. I mean, we did realize that. So maybe you can capture this point onto the chat, and then we can review section 4 instead of the ISO document.
Yes, Peter, for your information, I was just referring to the ISO document when I was trying to retrace older decisions on how to phrase conformance. So that was on a different aspect, not about the terms and definitions.
Sure.
And Fabian, may I ask a different question?
Mm-hmm.
As you had just 10 minutes ago, you had asked me to summarize the intuition behind a certain set of conformance criteria, and I had to improvise on it and to reconstruct it from my memory. Now I'm wondering, does OMG encourage such the introductory paragraphs that give a high level summary of a section, I mean an informal summary, which then will be followed by the list of formal conformance criteria? If so, I could provide something like this, I mean, if it were helpful.
Well, I believe that in the what's it called, object definition meta model, there is something like that. And that's the OMG standard I now have most present. Let me have a look. The problem is that their templates have changed. So what was the case a while ago might not be encouraged right now, like the glossary, for example. The ontology definition meta model starts out with, well, it seems that section 1, 2, 5 is more or less fixed. And then there is section 6, which starts here with, I think that's still formal stuff. And then afterward you can include more or less what you want. If you feel, so here it has usage scenarios and goals. So maybe we could include something more introductory there. I think it would be a good idea. It can be informative and make the document easier to read.
I could do something like this for the conformance criteria. And even if we have not yet agreed on what the actual conformance criteria should be, I think it might be helpful if I did a high-level description of what we originally intended.
Certainly helped me to understand what was going on. So I think that, we'll certainly make our discussions easier. So, okay. So it seems that we are agreeing to go to the definition next time. Okay.
Yeah. I thought, Christoph had recommended earlier that that's what we do kind of over the next 2 weeks, just kind of do this last pass through all those definitions.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hear whether anybody is against it.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. And just a quick pass, I noticed one problem, that there are two definitions of institution. So I think it's a good idea to make a review over this.
I think there should no definition of institute anymore. At least Till told me just today that he thinks that we don't need institutes and just want to have institutions.
But, well, in any case, you shouldn't define institution twice.
Yes. No, I was responding to your chat line, not to what you said. Sorry. You said that you wrote that it may be an institute, and if that's the case, then it should just be removed because we don't need...
The institute is possibly allowed when I was reading it.
So, okay.
Kill is typing. So maybe you can clarify the... What? Okay, back to the conformance then. You should at least note the things you want to discuss later when Till is available. So we had the question about what is, Sarah raised the question about 2.1.1. Do we really require to be an F or, S morph for all ONS languages? And the third one is that it's probably a confusion about the requirement for a DOL serialization versus a non-serialization, right? That was your point, Tara, correct?
Yes, right. Well, and there's a question whether a requirement about the concrete syntax should even be in that section.
Well, there was also my question of do we need a different section which has these requirements, or, and then Michael's response was, do we need requirements for DOL serializations at all? And I think Michael said probably not.
Yeah, I was just thinking that it's kind of part of the language itself that we would specify with the abstract syntaxes and concrete syntaxes, but it wouldn't be open. We wouldn't have this open framework. I mean, we have this open framework for all the other things, right? You want to be able to support multiple OMS languages, but I don't think necessarily we need to allow there to be multiple DOL concrete syntaxes that everyone else can use. You know, I think there's a line you have to draw before things get just a little too open.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. So then in that case, Michael Gruninger says, maybe you can just type it.
Yeah, I'll type that in.
And and then the conclusion would be we can just remove the 2.1.3.
So there was something actually with the XMI. I looked up on the RFP, and in the general requirements on proposals, there's a standard text that comes with all these RFPs,
mm-hmm.
and under section five. General requirements on proposals, particularly 5.1.1, it says submitters are encouraged to express models using OMG modeling languages such as, submissions containing models expressed using OMG modeling languages shall be accompanied by an OMG XMI representation of the models.
Our best effort should be made to provide an OMG XMI representation, even in those cases where models are expressed via non-OMG modeling languages. Is that what we originally mentioned XMI in that particular line?
Could you just say that again?
So in the RFP, there's questions 5.1.1, use of modeling languages. And it states that submissions containing models expressed using OMG modeling languages shall be accompanied by an OMG XMI representation of the models. Now, is that why in this section 2.13 of what we're looking at now, XMI is mentioned?
Yes, that's the reason.
Oh, okay.
But
actually, you can derive an XMI automatically from the MOF specification. And that's what's intended here.
But why can we assume that every OMS language will have a MOF representation?
That's basically what OMG would require. OMG prefers, say, to have languages specified in MOF, and in the ontology definition meta model, ODM, a number of ontology languages like OWL and Common Logic and RDF are specified in MOF. And basically, instead of EBNF, you could always use MOF. And therefore, the requirement actually is that each dual conformant language is specified in MOF, because then you have a uniform OMG kind of style description of the language, and you get an automatic XMI representation for it. And that could be also for generating an overall XMI representation for DOL.
But we don't write it here as it would be nice to have, but as a requirement for any OMS conformant language, language which is conformant to DOL. So that seems to be much stronger than to say it would be nice to have it. OMG can't expect us to do that for all languages which are DOL conformant.
I think if you use grammar, which is the least that you should have for the abstract syntax, then it should even be automatically possible if you have read this message from Florian today, who produced a MOF model for DOL. I think he just took the EBNF and automatically translated it to MOF. So that should be always possible. So I think we can have it as a requirement.
Okay.
I'm surprised that there would be a direct, a precise translation from EBNF to MOF. There may be some approximation involved, and maybe if it's acceptable to have a MOF model that maybe is more lenient than your language, so any valid expression in the language can validate against the XMI that's produced. That's reasonable, but there's concerns about ambiguous productions and so on.
In an abstract syntax, there can't be ambiguous productions. That's concrete syntax.
But, I don't know whether my question would be really make sense or not. In terms of conformance or relations between languages, whether concepts like one language can really be an exact version of another or refined version of another. So you use classification or equivalence clauses or etc. Sorry, I don't know whether that makes sense or not. Yeah.
I didn't understand the words.
No, for example, if you talk about translation or kind of mapping or, you know, in syntax or, but I wonder whether some kind of mapping or something that really comes up as a kind of abstraction in terms of a clause of concept is actually mapping to a single concept of another. Would that be a kind of conformity you would take into account?
Well, I think that's addressing, you know, again, the discussion we had earlier about what exactly are, you know, to focus exactly on what we're talking about conformance here. And in this 2.1, we're talking about some other OMS language being conformant with DOLE. And so it's those kinds of requirements. So what requirements do we need to impose on an OMS language in order to be able to evaluate conformance in the you know, the following six ways, I guess, or five ways there are here. And so we're just discussing now, like, what are those minimal requirements? You know, does it need to have its, you know, abstract syntax specified as its meta model? Does it need to have a serialization, et cetera? So it's, you can kind of look at these conformance conditions on an OMS language as being the minimal criteria that it would need in order for it to kind of effectively plug into the entire DOLE framework.
What about the third one? Because maybe just cutting the 2.1.3 will clarify my confusion about why we need one in the way it is. So that, to me, seems even weirder, because why not have a DOLE language which has no human-readable lexical complete syntax? I mean, arguably, RDF XML is not human readable. Although I know that if you're, some people are used to it. So some humans, they're not very readable. Let's put it that way.
Phil?
Phil might, may have just left us again.
I mean, that's a serialization, and there are many other serializations of RDF.
Yes, but my argument was, didn't make it explicit. Assume that somebody would invent a logic which had only one serialization, or which is looks as ugly as RDF XML. It isn't RDF XML. It's something, you know, new. But
like RuleML, for example, which doesn't have a human-readable syntax in EBNF.
Okay, good. So we have a concrete example. So why shouldn't that be conformant ONS language? That just doesn't seem to make sense to me. In the other way around, if you have something like personal logic as in a logic textbook, it defines, it's not even defined in EBNF, it is defined in many logic books, it's defined recursively, and there is obviously no XML serialization.
Well, is it the human readable part that you're focusing on? Because I can see the need for a concrete syntax is if you want to be able to specify a heterogeneous ontology that uses RuleML, then you need to be able to have some concrete syntax that specifies what legal RuleML that's being, say, you know, imported into a heterogeneous ontology with other fragments of ontologies in other languages.
Yeah, I'm worried about that there are two different syntaxes here required. One is human readable and the other is serialization of XML.
Mm.
And my question was, why is this necessary? Why do we need two syntaxes? Couldn't you have a conformance OMS language which doesn't have one or the other? Schutzhoff, do you know?
Sorry, could you please ask the question again?
The question is, why do we need in three, it says explicitly that you have a human readable language and that serialization. And these are two different, so it's two different syntax, concrete syntaxes. And the question is, why do you need both? Why wouldn't it be sufficient to have only one?
I have no idea. I think there's, but this item 3 was again written by 2 recently. I traced it back in the repository. It was, the date is 10th of March, 10th of March by 2.
So we assume that he, for the very reasons he will have, we will be able to answer. We'll remember.
Yeah.
But let's just postpone then the question. What about 4? Well, the 4 makes clear that they are really, both are required, because 4 would make sense without 3.
Yes. this was a chat discussion that I had with Till in parallel when he was in the chat. So we, Till and I agreed that it makes sense for a conformed OMS language to have an abstract syntax and also at least one concrete syntax, also known as serialization. And the open question that remains, and I said it in the chat, maybe I should say it more explicitly. The open question that remains is, I think it would be more elegant to say in this section 2.1 simply that, the abstract syntax and the logic and whatever of an OMS language conforms with DOL if number of criteria. And then we say the OMS language must have at least one serialization, and then we refer to this other section, which is 2.2 at the moment, where we say under what conditions is serialization conforms with DOL. Whereas at the moment, specifically looking at these items 3 and 4, it is mixed up in a way that some aspects of conformance of a serialization or conform concrete syntax respectively, that this is mixed into the conformance of a language. And its abstract syntax and its logical aspect.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's separate that. Well, why is there a difference between the what is called here in point 4, the abstract syntax and the SMORF compliant meta model?
I don't think there is a difference. I think it is the same.
Okay.
But
the abstract syntax can be specified as EDF. Okay.
Yes, right.
Okay.
Yeah. And I hope that whenever Till wrote concrete syntax, he meant the same as what I meant when I wrote serialization.
Okay. So we probably will kill point 4 and just move it to the serialization section. That was your proposal, right?
Yes. And I would also kill part of point 3 and not move it, but I would, I could personally take care of this. I could have a look into section 2.2, the conformance of a serialization, and revise this or raise questions to be discussed. And then I would vote for replacing items 3 and 4 by a reference to section 2.2, saying that there should be at least one serialization and according to the criteria specified in section 2.2.
That sounds cool. Section 2.2. Right, cut that. Sounds reasonable to me. I mean, probably should talk to Till before we decide to do it, given that he made the changes and maybe he had some.
Okay. Are you meeting him soon? If so, you could maybe discuss it with him and then inform me, and then I would.
No, I won't see him. I'm going to be out of the country more or less until April. So, I won't see him, but we can do it. I mean, just do it on the email.
Okay.
Hi, guys. This is Terry. I'm sorry I couldn't be here earlier.
Hi, Terry. I think we're...
You're cleaning up. Are there any questions about my email?
Sorry, what did you say?
Yeah, you're beginning to phase down today. Were there any questions about my email? That's the only reason I came on, just to make sure everybody understood what I was saying.
I think we didn't even start to discuss that point yet. We were bogged down in understanding the basics of the conformance and are a little bit confused. Unfortunately, too. Was almost had technical problems.
Okay.
Yeah, but evidently Paul took your input and modified the documents. So.
Oh, I hadn't seen that part yet. All right. Well, then that's all right. I just wanted to make sure that I saw that he made an action item out of it, but I wasn't sure if my intent was clear. So I. All right. I assume we're going back the next meeting. Europe will be back on summertime, and we'll be an hour earlier than we were today.
Not quite yet. Next meeting is still like this meeting.
Still this one. Okay. Well, again,
meeting is the 26th if we don't change, and Europe doesn't go back until the 29th.
Okay.
The 30th.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe you should just. I mean, since Michael also had to leave. Just a few minutes ago, I think. Maybe you should just make sure that we have the dates and the times right, and then so the next meeting is the 26th, and it's going to be exactly the times as today, right? That's what you said, Peter?
Yeah, it's nobody upset. Yeah, I just put it on the chat.
Okay.
Nobody upset. That's what the consensus will be.
Okay, sounds good to me. Well,
is that it?
Well, unless there are issues, which I have a feeling will be discussing these changes without being here is going to be not very. I have a feeling we really need them in the room for that, and so I think it's and we are and Michael has left now as well. I think we maybe can call the clue. Close. And next time we then discuss section 4. Oh yeah, Terry.
I'm sorry.
We decided next time to discuss the definitions.
Okay.
And section 4, and revisit them because they may be reused for in the API 4KB standard.
Okay. So you're gonna follow the ISO. Documents or not?
It is section 4 in the current document. It's the definition are from the original ISO glossary, I think.
Right, and that does. There's no conflict with OMG on that.
I'm not an OMG expert, so I'm. I hope Conrad is going to be there, and we can ask him and other maybe other people who have more experience with OMG.
Yeah, I don't know anything about OMG. I just thought that might be a
yeah. I will actually be at the OMG meeting in 2 weeks, so I will be at the source for terminological issues.
Okay, cool.
Can talk to them.
All right, guys.
Okay.
I'll follow the email, and if I can, I'll get in the meeting late like I did today. But then, later on, maybe I can join the meeting earlier. See you later.
Okay. See you later, everybody.
Bye.
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 Bye.